The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 12. Pages 223 of the New Testament, allow me to read the words. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Amen. Last time, we covered the experience of the young man Eutychus of Troas. After service last week, one member of the congregation said to another member, "I couldn't sleep through the sermon today. I'd die if I fell asleep." The night before Paul left Troas, he participated in a final Sunday service with the brothers and sisters there. The young man Eutychus was seated in a window on the third floor attic when he started drowsing and fell to the ground to his death. But the Lord, who saw that Eutychus, who was tired from a long day's labor, had loved the word so much he came to the service, wished to make him alive again. And Paul knew this. The 10th verse says, "Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'He's alive.'" Paul threw himself on the dead body of Eutychus and embraced him. The prophet Elijah, when he brought back to life the dead son of the widow of Zarephath, and the prophet Elisha, when he brought back the dead son of the woman of Shunem, did the same. And Paul proclaimed to the people who were crying out and weeping at the sudden death of Eutychus, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." The life Paul proclaimed is recorded as Pushke in the Bible. Pushke, which means soul, breath, or life, is used to stand for true life, eternal life, in the Bible. The following is the Lord's word. Luke chapter 21:19. "Stand firm, and you will win life." The word translated as life here in Greek is pushke. We can be patient and stand firm when patience is needed because the Lord's true life is with us. So those who can stand firm when standing firm is needed can enjoy the true life the Lord has given them. First Peter chapter 1, verses 8 to 9 bear witness. "Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There's only one reason people believe in and love and are filled with joy in our Lord. It is because through faith in the Lord they have received salvation of their souls. The Greek word for souls here is also pushke. Anyone who believes in Jesus may have their bodies die away, but enjoy true life, eternal life in the Lord. This is because Jesus broke death and came back to life as the Lord of true life, eternal life. So the life Paul proclaimed over the dead body of Eutychus was not the resurrection of the body which would disappear in death again, but the true life, eternal life. Impossible for the death of the body to devour, that only the Lord could give. At this proclamation of life, the dead Eutychus was brought back to life for real. Paul did not bring Eutychus back to life, but the Lord's true life through Paul was delivered to Eutychus. As we saw last time, the brothers and sisters of Troas went with Eutychus, whom the Lord had brought back to life, to the third floor attic, where they spent the night sharing the Lord's grace. When day broke, Paul's group left Troas as planned. But even after they left, the people of Troas continued to receive the Lord's great comfort and cheer through Eutychus, whom the Lord had brought back to life. To the people, seeing Eutychus was like a confirmation of the Lord's ability to give true life, eternal life. What is the real reason this is possible? Was it simply because Eutychus was bodily brought back to life? If this were the case, the comfort and cheer people gained through Eutychus would have been superficial and would have disappeared in a short time. The resurrected Eutychus and the people around him would have become caught up in their selfishness and greed and would have spent their lives fighting. If this were the case, there would have been no point in recording the story of Eutychus in the Bible. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4, Paul defined baptism as death and rebirth. Baptism is a process in which the old person who was bound for the graveyard dies and is reborn in the Lord as a person of life, bound for true life. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, Paul defined the process in which the Israeli people, freed from slavery in Egypt, crossed the Red Sea as a process of baptism. When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea that God had opened for them, the waters rushed back again. The Israelites had lost the road back to Egypt. This meant that their old selves, which were slaves to sin and death, had died while crossing the Red Sea. What remained to them was a new life, bound for the promised land in the grace of God. So the crossing of the Red Sea was to the people of Israel a fundamental baptism of death and rebirth. From this point of view, the death and rebirth of Eutychus was also a baptism. Eutychus's fall from the third floor attic window and his death did not simply mean the death of his body. The minute Eutychus fell to his death, the old Eutychus who had set up bodily life as his goal died. And that he came back to life does not simply mean that his body was resurrected. This was a rebirth through the true life given by the Lord. Baptism is important not because of its form, but because of its true substance. That night, Eutychus was not immersed in water, nor did anyone sprinkle water on his head in an external form of baptism. But that night, he became a true baptized Christian as his old person died and his new person was reborn in Christ. We can imagine how Eutychus' life, reborn in the Lord's true life, was renewed. How it must have changed dramatically from the old life, which was bound for the graveyard. And if so, we can imagine how every time people saw Eutychus' rebirth and new life, the Lord's true life of renewal worked great deeds in people's minds. To these people, the Lord's comfort and cheer became strength on which they could live true lives. And so the Lord had the baptism of Eutychus recorded in his word so that it would live eternally. This year, our church's motto is taken from John chapter 14, verse 20. You are in me, I in you. So from January 1st to midnight onwards, every time I stand here at the pulpit, every week, I have emphasized through sermons and prayers that our Lord is already with us in spirit and embraces us in his word. What does this mean? These words mean that the Lord's true life, eternal life, which bodily death can never take away, is already within us. What does it mean that we are Christians who have been saved? It means that the Lord has already given us, through his blood on the cross, true life, eternal life, that will never die even though our bodies are dead. What does it mean that we have been reborn? It means that we live through the strength of the Lord's true life in his eternal life. This leads to one conclusion. If we truly believe that the Lord's true life, eternal life, is already within us, then this faith is proven by our reborn life, new life, made strong through the Lord's true life. I would like to introduce to you a few examples I encountered during the month of September. The first was a month ago, the first week of September, on September 6th. The sermon that day shed light on the life of Paul, who after being called by the Lord, was reborn as a youth, serving people in the image of the Lord, and lived his middle age serving people, and ended his days as a senior serving people. After our second service ended, a young man in his early 30s told me about his resolve. For a long time, his relationship with his father had been difficult. But after hearing the sermon that day, he had determined to serve his father for the rest of his life. He could have just resolved on his own, but he came and told me, because this young man's resolve was strong. A difficult relationship between parent and child is not easy to fix unless the parent makes an effort first. But in this case, the child had taken the first resolve to serve his father in a difficult relationship and made his determination known openly to the pastor. On September 18th, I received a letter from a woman who attends a neighborhood church outside Seoul and participates in our services through the internet. Through reading the mature believer's text, she understood that she was a sinner who had sinned without realizing her sin. That in the church she attends among the members of the choir, using someone else's musical score without copyright permission is robbery. And she sent me a letter resolving to live as a true Christian. Her letter ended with the following. Pastor, I would like to live not only understanding but carrying out what I understand to the fullest of my efforts. Thank you. I hope to live not as a one-eyed person nor as an elderly person but a true senior. According to the Yonhap News of September 19th, during the last 3 years, the employees and security workers of the Korea Land and Housing Corporation have experienced up to 850 incidents of verbal and physical violence from residents. Since this is only limited to the apartments of the Korea Land and Housing Corporation, we can imagine how many incidents of verbal and physical violence occur in all the apartments across the nation. There are apartment security guards who have committed suicide because of verbal and physical violence from residents. But one female member of the congregation in her late 60s has been daily providing meals for her security guard since she moved to her current apartment. Even when she has visitors to her home, when meal times come around, she makes sure the guards have their meals. When she is out, she makes sure they can order from a restaurant. If every apartment resident in the nation were like her, no security employee would ever think the world a terrible place. On September 22nd, I received a letter and a woman's bag and purse through the mail from a woman in her 40s. Last spring, she had bought on credit a used designer bag and purse at 12,000 won at a recycling store owned by another member of the congregation. Later, she was not able to afford the amount, so she could only pay 50,000 won, and she used the bag and purse a few times without paying the remaining 70,000 won. But after hearing the sermon on the second and third weeks of September, she wrote a letter apologizing for her actions and sent the bag and purse to me, asking if I could return it to the store where they had trusted her and given her credit. She also added that she would not ask for the 50,000 won she had already paid. The September 22nd edition of the Joseon Ilbo had an interesting article. As rent prices soar during the fall moving season, Mapo-gu of Seoul City is trying to discover rental unit owners who are not raising rent prices. Mapo-gu announced on the 22nd that it will select and present an award at the end of the year to a resident whose building is within its boundaries, who has not raised rental prices for at least 4 years. This is the result of a decision that the administrative government cannot stand by while so many residents are displaced from their residences in search of less expensive housing. On the same day, I had lunch with a young man in his mid-30s in the church restaurant. He was married early last year and had a daughter this year, making him the head of a family of three. Right before he married, he made a loan of 80 million won, and I lived in a rental house on a 110 million won lease. Before the two-year deadline for the rent was up, since 3 months ago, this young man had been worrying whether the homeowner would raise the rent or ask them to leave. There had been no word up to the renewal date, so he hoped that they would allow him to stay. But right on the Saturday before the service, he received a call from the owner asking him to leave because they were planning to rent the place on monthly rent. But he said that after listening to the sermon, he gained trust that the Lord would lead his family to the right place and gain peace in his mind. This young man's family lives in a rental home right in the Mapo-gu area where rental housing owners who do not raise rents will receive a reward. Ten years ago, when our church first started, the residences of our pastors were all in the Mapo-gu area near the church. But as the years passed by, their residences have passed the boundaries of Mapo, further and further away from the church. This is because they cannot accommodate the rising rental prices every 2 years and are forced to move. This is the pain shared by all common people in this country who do not own their own homes. A few years ago, rental prices on row houses were going up 20 to 30 million won every 2 years, and now they are rising 40 to 50 million won. In the difficult world we live in, how can ordinary people save 40 to 50 million won every 2 years? But when we encounter articles and rumors about the real estate agents, renters, and housing investors who incite and carry out and encourage these types of deeds, we feel anger rising up within us. Three years ago, on the first sermon of July of 2012, I asked Christians who had additional homes to allow their current residents to remain without raising rents and introduced the example of Switzerland. I would like to use this content again today. As I have spoken during the Thursday lecture in discussion with Mr. Aryung Lee, when I lived from 1998 to 2001 in Geneva, Switzerland, I stayed for 3 years in one apartment. But during those 3 years, the monthly rent did not rise 1 cent. The owner of my apartment did not just show kindness to me. In Switzerland, once a resident begins living in a place, the law states the homeowner cannot raise rents until he leaves of his own accord. And all citizens follow the law. Does this mean that if you live in one house for 10 or 20 years, the rent will not be raised? The answer is yes. Utilities like electricity or heating bills may be raised according to market prices, but rents cannot be raised. So if a family stays in one home, as incomes rise, the family can live a life of plenty. Among friends in Geneva, there are those who have lived in one home for 30 years. For 30 years, this person has used his increased income to raise his 3 daughters well. 2 daughters are already married, and next month the third will be married as well. Being free from financial burden, even after marrying 3 daughters in the space of a few years, has something to do with the different marriage cultures. But much of this is due to rental prices that have not gone up in the last 30 years. As we have seen in Switzerland, once a resident enters a home, rental prices are frozen, and the homeowner cannot ask the resident to leave. Only if the resident leaves of his own accord for a larger home or a smaller home can the homeowner bring in a new resident and a new contract price. And when the new resident enters, housing prices are frozen again. Switzerland is not the only country with the system. Most Western countries have this type of social contract. The important point is by whom these ideal social contracts are contrived. Without a doubt, the Christians of the land were the ones who did so. Practicing Christians who serve the Holy Trinity God as master and use their ownings like Lydia not only for their own lives but to carry out God's love were able to build such ideal societies. The sermon that day beat on the minds of one couple. The husband was in his early 70s and the wife in her mid-60s. That night, The wife stayed awake the whole night, unable to sleep. The next day was the day for contract renewal with the resident. If they had followed precedent for the past few years, they would have asked for higher rent. But Sunday's sermon remained in their ears, and worry set in. The wife who had been worrying all night asked her husband his opinion at 6 a.m. Her husband's answer was simple. Let us not renew the contract, as the church said. After this incident, this couple has decided to use implied contracts with residents in their building. Implied contracts do not make new contracts on renewal dates, thereby continuing the conditions of the previous contract. This time the residents were startled. They asked the wife how she could show such kindness. She and her husband gave the same answer. They said they did as they were taught in the church. I recently spoke with her on the phone and asked how she felt these days. She said she had worried all night the day she had heard the sermon, but ever since she began giving implicit contracts as the church taught, she has had peace in her mind. She said she understood that sharing her goods with others was her duty as a Christian and was satisfied with what she had and so gave thanks to God. When I see members of the congregation such as those I have spoken of, I am moved to the point of tears, and I cannot but give praise to the Lord who has raised them as true baptized Christians. That they can leave their old selves behind and resolve and live new lives as true baptized Christians is all because they have been given the strength of true life from Jesus Christ, who is already with us in our worship. Without the strength of the Lord's true life, human beings who are sinners cannot break free from the trap of death to be reborn as a people of life. And this is possible only through true worship. Because the youth Eutychus, whom we believe to be a slave, even if he fell asleep, loved the Lord and attended service, he was able to receive the grace of becoming a true baptized Christian. If the youth Eutychus had experienced the same accident in a different place, his life would have met a tragic end. The true life of Jesus, which Paul proclaimed above the dead body of Eutychus, saying he's alive, is already among us. Do you truly believe this? If so, let us each Sunday, through our worship, confirm this life, and in its strength, live as true baptized Christians like Eutychus, whose old self died and new self was reborn. Every Sunday, as our services progress, let us gather strength in Jesus' true life and break free from the life of death bound for the graveyard, toward the life bound for the eternal kingdom of God. Through us, this world will change into a warm country of God. And even if those of the world do not recognize our efforts, our Lord will remember within him our lives as true baptized Christians, even as he did for Eutychus. Let us pray. Father, thank you for calling us again today and giving us the grace to worship the Holy Trinity God. Thank you further for showing us again through this service that the Christ who broke death to rise again is already among us in true life and embraces us in the word of life. Let us all, every Sunday through service, confirm the life of Christ, and through the strength of the life, live as true baptized Christians. Let the world through us become a warm place filled with you, a country of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.